Hilo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Sheni, Monday, the 17th day of ER 5786, corresponding to May 4th, which has a Lewis Carroll connection, which maybe I'll share with you, or maybe I won't later. Tehillim. It's also the 32nd day of the Omer, which makes it Lav Ba'Omer. Lev Ba'Omer, not really a holiday, but Tehillim Kuf, Mizmor L'Todah, Horiyu L'Adonai Kol Ha'aretz, Ivdu Et Adonai B'Simcha, Bo'u L'Fanav Bir Nana, De'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim, Hu Asanu, V'lo Anachnu, Amo V'Tzon Marito, Bo'u Sha'arav B'Todah, Chatzerotav B'Tehillah, Hodu lo baruchu shemo, ki tov Adonai le'olam chasdo, ve'ad dor v'dor emunato. Kuf kaf aleph. Shir la'ma'alot, esau einai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha, hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakecha, v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha, mikol ro yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha, uvoecha. Kuf lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmoria Adonai mi ya'amod ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivare. Kiviti Adonai kivita nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim la'boker shomerim la'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed harbe imo fedut, vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Mark.
Mi shebirach avosenu Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, hu yivarech es chayalei tzeva hagana li Yisrael, ves anshei kochos habitachon ha'omedim al mishmar atzinu v'arei Eloheinu, v'halochamim ba'adenu, min halvanon v'ad midbar mitzrayim, min hayam hagadol ad lebo ha'arava, v'chuv v'chol makom shehem, v'yabasha, v'avir v'yam. Yitein Adonai es oyeveinu ha'kamim aleinu, nigafim lifneihem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, yishmor v'yatzil es chayaleinu, mikol tzara v'tzuka, mikol nega v'machala, v'yizlach b'racha v'hasacha v'chol ma'aseh yedeihem. Yadver sonenu tapehem vi atarim befeser Yeshua uva ateres yitzachon vi kuryam vahem hakasu vi Adonai Elohechem ha'alech imachem lehilachem lachem imo yevechem lahotzia asem v'nomar amen.
Amen. Together, Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uva shivya omedim vein bayam, vein bayabasha uvein ba'avir המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתא בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. You know, I think of that additional word, ובאוויר. Each war that we've been in, or over the years, I've noticed that, I don't know how to put this. Let me go back years to the Intifada days. In those days, the army sort of faded into the background, and guards and police came into the foreground. That's when we started adding the Anshei Kochot HaBitachon. Before that, it was Mishaberach L'Chayalei Tzahal, and I think I was the one who started the whole thing, because for Shabbatonim at the Israel Center, I used to print up the tefillot, and I, on my own, added V'Anshei Kochot HaBitachon. I know that Koren got it from me, and any other places then, got it from Koren and stuff like that. But that to me is the same or similar to adding Uba'avir. When we came to the wars in Lebanon and in Gaza, the Chayalim on the ground were the ones that were the main focus and concern of our tefillot. With Iran, the main became the pilots and everyone involved in that. So I don't feel any way apologetic for tweaking the text of Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, which I don't know how far back it goes, but forever it's been Vayabasha Uvayam. And I feel no problem adding Ba'avir as a special front and center kind of feeling about the pilots. They are in the air all the time, refueling in the air, on constant call. And not that the Chayalim regular are there. That's why we say Bayabasha and Bayam and Ba'avir. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Okay. Double Sedra again this week, the third one in 4 weeks. Bahar B'chukotai are joined in a 12-month, one Adar year, Shana Pshuta. They are separated in a Shana Me'uberet, a 13-month, two Adar year. And there's one extra tweak for Eretz Yisrael, for Israel, and that is when Pesach falls out on Friday night Shabbos. We finish Pesach on the following Friday. That Shabbat here in Israel, we're still Pesachdik because we didn't have a chance to get chametz or put away dishes and stuff. And that's a fun Shabbos for us because it gives Ashkenazim a chance to have some kitniot with their matzah. The dream of having peanut butter on matzah is something that can't be done on a regular Pesach. But when that Shabbos is no longer Pesach, but you're still got matzah around, that's my chance to have hummus with matzah or peanut butter with matzah and stuff like that. I say it flippantly, but you know what I mean. In Chutz Laaretz, that's the 8th day of Pesach, and they have special Torah reading for the 8th day of Pesach. And we continue with Parshat HaShavua, missing only 1 week for the 1st day of Yom Tov. And in Chutz Laaretz, they skip 2 weeks of Parshat HaShavua. And they get back a week later, which means we get out of sync. Now, in a Shana Peshuta, that happens, we let Chutz Laaretz catch up to us, or we slow down so that we will be together with Chutz Laaretz by splitting Bahar and Bechukotai. I have to say it from both perspectives because for us, it looks like we're letting them catch up, but really, the Chutz La'aretz schedule is the original. Eretz Yisrael had a different schedule for Parshat HaShavua. We had a 3.5 year cycle of shorter sedras, and Chutz La'aretz had the one that we adopted in Eretz Yisrael a long time ago already, of having only 54 sedras that finish in the course of a year. You might ask, so what do we do on Simchas Torah? I don't know. I don't remember reading about it. I also don't remember why we can't split Tazria and Metzora and get back in sync quicker. Why it waits for Bahar Bechukotai, again, I don't know. It might be to postpone the Tochacha. That's maybe what went into the thinking. Anyway, That's the story. What turns out, though, is that the one kind of year that that happens, Pesach from Shabbos to Friday, or to Friday, Shabbos to Shabbos, happens to be the most common year that occurs 18% of the time. Which means, if you ask someone, let's take Achrei Mot Kedoshim. Achrei Kedoshim is more often combined or more often split? What would you say, Mark? Obviously, it's more often combined because the
Sorry.
Shana Pshuta is 12 years out of a 19-year cycle, and the Shana Meuberet is 7 years out of a 19-year cycle. But that one tweak for Bahar B'Chukotai gives us a different answer than Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, which is read more, combined Bahar B'Chukotai or separated? Combined. In Eretz Yisrael, we read it more often separated, because it's such a high frequency year that we do it differently. Anyway, that's just for trivia. Now let's get into Bahar and Bechukotai. I want to talk about Lag BaOmer also, but we'll start with the Seder. Bahar is a small Seder, 57 psukim. There are only four other Sedras that have more and that have fewer psukim, so it's way down there, number 50. Bechukotai isn't that big either. It has 78 psukim. It's number 46 on the list. So it's two smallish sedras combined. I counted. There are 11 sedras that have more psukim than Bahar and Bechukotai together. The other doubles, well, Nitzavim Vayelech is very small, and the others are longer. Bahar starts with the famous pasuk Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. Until now, or let's say specifically in Parshat Emor, we had the common pasuk Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor 11 times. That's the most by far in the Torah. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, purely that, occurs 69 times in the Torah, in the books of Shemot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. You don't have it in Bereshit because Moshe wasn't born yet. You don't have it in Devarim because he is the narrator of Devarim. So he doesn't say Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. It says Vayedaber Moshe Hashem Eli, whenever it has to say that. So it's in Shemot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. But here we find a location. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Bahar Sinai Lemor. Now, the other times that the Torah uses a location, we need to know the location. For example, next week's Sedra, not this coming Shabbos, but next week, which is Bamidbar already, we have also a location. The book and the Sedra of Bamidbar begins Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. Listen to this. Bimidbar Sinai, Be'ohel Moed, Be'echad Lachodesh Hasheni, Bashana Hashenit, Litzeit Litzeitam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Lemor. So you have that same format, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Lemor, but with a long break. But that the Torah has to use in order to pin down the location of the book of Bamidbar. And so too with a few other places. Arvot Moav gets in there once to know that that's when Hashem spoke to Moshe. But all the others were from Sinai. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Where did God tell him about the mitzvot for the Kohanim not to become Tomei? Where did God tell him about the mitzvah of Kedoshim? Where did God tell him all of the other mitzvot? On Har Sinai. So why, famous question, does the Torah say specifically here, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, Behar Sinai lemor? Rashi formulates the question in a very famous phrase, Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. On the lighter side of that, I find it interesting that that became an expression in Israel in Hebrew, meaning what does one thing have to do with the other? And I imagine a secular Jew saying Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai, not having a clue that it's a Rashi on a pasuk in the Torah. And I would love to go around and telling them that, and we'll see if they continue using it or not. But that's one thing. The other thing is, I looked it up on the internet, not Ma inyan shmita etzel Har Sinai. I looked up what does that have to do with the price of tea in China, because that's the American English expression. I found out from that article on Wikipedia that in Britain they say, what does it have to do with the price of fish? I don't know if you still say that. Marcia?
No. No, okay. What's it got to do with the price of cheese, we normally say?
Yes.
The same hill of beans.
Fine. So I found others. In France, I'll translate from the French because I can't say it, is what does that have to do with sauerkraut? I thought that was funny. In Poland, they say the equivalent of what does gingerbread have to do with a windmill? Most interesting, in this article in Wikipedia, it says, in Hebrew, based on the biblical passage in Leviticus 25:1, and it quotes it in Hebrew and English, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, and God spoke to Moses saying, Bahar Sinai saying at Mount Sinai, and explains the answer that's given in Rashi for that. Now, I found that very amusing because what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? It's a lighthearted subject. And it brought down maybe the origin of the whole idea of saying it like that, because it also had other countries that say, what does one thing have to do with the other? Boring. You know, it's much more interesting to say something something weird. Anyway, that's the light side of Ma Inyan Shmita Etzel Har Sinai, but it's a serious question because Rashi explains the question by saying all mitzvot were given by God to Moshe on Har Sinai. Why say it here? Two questions. Why say it at all, ever? And why say it, if you're going to say it, specifically connected to Shemitah? So the first part of the answer, you need to know or review or be reminded of one of the Talmudic principles by which we learn Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is, it's not as short as saying Kal Vachomer and Gezeirah Shavah, it goes like this, Davar Sheyotza Min HaKlal, Lelamed, something that was removed. Let me get you the exact words. These are attributed to Rabbi Yishmael, a Tana, which is said at the end of Korbanot each morning, for those who say Korbanot or say the end of Korbanot. It goes like this. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, B'shloshesrei midot ha-Torah nidreshet bohem. There are 13 methods by which the Torah is darshined to explain Torah Sheba'al Peh on the Pasuk. And they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, not 7. 9. Kol davar shehaya bichlal, anything that was part of a general rule. Viyatza, I'm not reading the right one. 8. Kol davar shehaya bichlal, viyatza min haklal lelamed, and it came as an exception to the rule to teach something. Lo lelamed al atzmo yatza, ella lelamed al haklal kulo yatza. It came to teach us not just for the one thing that's an exception, but it's general for everything. Now, that sounds confusing, so let me put it into the context of Bahar Sinai. Shemitah is singled out to teach us that at Har Sinai, Moshe learned not just the titles, the chapter headings of a mitzvah, but he learned the details of the mitzvah as well. Because Shemitah here is spelled out. There are 4 different Isurim that are mentioned in the Psukim about Shemitah. And so Rashi puts it like this: just like Shemitah and its details were taught at Har Sinai, not just the chapter heading, so too all mitzvot were taught at Har Sinai with details. Now that means that you don't say, okay, the Torah said Bahar Sinai for Shemitah because Shemitah was different. No, Shemitah was jumped out of the klal, the rule, to teach us something that applies to the whole rule. So when the Torah says, Basukot teshvu shivat yamim, how do we know you have to put schach on it? Because that's a detail that is considered halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, and the trigger of the whole process in our transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh is this pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. In other words, it's teaching us much more than Shemitah with its details were given at Har Sinai. It's teaching us that matzah was given with its details, and sukkah was given with its details, and shofar, and you name it. Birkat HaMazon, whatever it is, any mitzvah that was part of Taryag mitzvot at Har Sinai was taught by God to Moshe in the 40 days and 40 nights he spent there, giving detail on each mitzvah. So that's the concept of why you don't have to say Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor all the time. It's enough that the Torah said it once. Now you could look at every single Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor as if it said Bahar Sinai, because of the concept that I read to you from Rabbi Yishmael of Kol Davar Shehoya Bechlal V'yotza Min HaKlal Lelamed, came out to teach us something. Lo Lelamed al atzmo yatza, didn't come only to teach us about itself, but about the whole klal. Another example, famous example, and that's not as crystal clear as this one, is lo tiva'aru esh b'chol moshvoteichem b'yom ha-shabbat. Don't kindle fire in all of your dwellings on Shabbat. That was already covered by don't do any manner of malacha on Shabbat, because havarat esh, lighting fire, producing fire, is one of the lametet malachot. So it was yatza min haklal to teach us something about malachot on Shabbat in general. Don't have to get involved into what now. But that's the style of one of the 13 principles of learning from the Torah. I mentioned Kal Vachomer, relations between father and daughter are forbidden. capital offense. Doesn't say specifically in the Torah. We learn it, we are taught it from a Kal Vachomer, because it mentions grandfather and granddaughter are forbidden to each other. Kal Vachomer, a father and a daughter. So the Torah sometimes teaches us something straight, and sometimes we learn things based on these principles. How do you know that a man could marry a woman by giving her something of monetary value, which is called Shoveh Kesef, rather than Kesef? But Kesef and Shoveh Kesef doesn't say specifically in the Torah. We learn it from a Gezeira Shava from Avraham Avinu acquiring the Ma'orat HaMach Pelah and its field by giving money to the person from whom he's acquiring it. And Kedushin works the same way with a woman. Not to get into the sexist part of that, but we'll leave it at that. So that's one aspect of Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. The second question is, why make Shemitah the exception? Why not use a different Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, stick in Bahar Sinai someplace else with a different mitzvah? Why choose this mitzvah? So one of the Mefarshim explains that it teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about very down-to-earth, literally, things, very mundane things. He's not only concerned with our spirituality, with our avoiding of Avodah Zorah and our striving for Kedusha, but day-to-day activity. You grow food from the ground, very practical. And yet, it has a connection to Torah via the mitzvot related to produce of the ground. Shemitah is a good choice for the one to be the model. And we see it in Bechukotai this week, in the Tochacha, because the main reason given for our being exiled from Eretz Yisrael is our not observing Shemitah properly. That's why, without getting into it now, that's why there is such a fuss made of against the Heter Mechira, even though the Heter Mechira has basis in Halacha, but there's a large portion of the Orthodox community in Israel and elsewhere, but mostly in Israel, who don't want to take shortcuts in observance of Shemitah, even though it's Durabanan in our time without Yovel. And it's because it's not just one of the mitzvot. It's the mitzvah that is singled out as the cause of exile from Eretz Yisrael. Now, I have a different way of looking at this Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, which I want to share with you, which is a message to some of you as chizuk, and a message to some of you as idud, encouragement. And you could probably figure out what I'm going to say. Har Sinai represents Torah. Shemitah represents Eretz Yisrael. The connection between Torah and Eretz Yisrael should never allow a person to say Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. It's like a ridiculous question, an insulting question and a problematic question. Because right up front, God says to Moshe at the burning bush, I'm going to take them out from Egypt and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. On the way, I will make a covenant with them at Har Sinai. Shortly thereafter, God sends Moshe to prophesy to the people, V'hotzeiti v'hitzalti v'ga'alti, I'll take you out of Egypt. V'lokachti etchem li la'am v'yiti lachem le'elokim v'idatem ki ani Hashem elokeichem amotzi etchem eretz Mitzrayim. I will make a covenant with them, mutual, where I will be their God and they will be my nation, and they will know that it is I who took you out of Mitzrayim, which is what God said right up front on Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ve'et Avadim. It continues with Ve'heveiti, and I will bring them to the land that I promised the Avot, and I will give it to them as a morashah. Throughout many psukim in the Torah, many psukim throughout the Torah, can be seen that link Torah and Eretz Yisrael. I've told you the story before, but to me, I'm not embarrassed to say it again. Summer 1969, long time ago by now. 1969 was 57 years ago. Summer 69, I was a madrich of a group of NCSY kids, no, of Mizrahi Hatzair, actually, with some NCSY kids here in Israel, high school kids. And I had to give a Dvar Torah last minute because the kid that I assigned the Dvar Torah chickened out. It was for Sudash Lishit on Shabbat Nachamu. And we had just come out of Mincha on our way into the Chadar Ochel for Sudash Lishit. At Mincha on Shabbat Nachamu, we read the beginning of Parshat Ekev. And I had my sitter with me. I opened up to Parshat Ekev, and I looked over quickly, what can I say about it when I have to give this Dvar Torah? And a pasuk jumped off the page. How did that happen? A pasuk jumped off the page and smacked me in the forehead. And I'll tell you the pasuk, and then I'll tell you what happened as a result. The pasuk says, "Kol ha-mitzvah." Even though that sounds singular, it means all mitzvot. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, that I am commanding you this day, tishmerun la'asot, you shall be careful to do, lema'an tichyun urevitem, so that you will live and multiply, uvatem virishtem et ha'aretz, and come and acquire and settle the land, asher nishba Hashem la'avotechem. Purpose of the mitzvot was to be observed in Eretz Yisrael. This, you have a number of psukim in Vayet Hanan and elsewhere in the Torah that make that same point. I call this Ritzon Hashem, God's desire, that we should not only become his nation and follow his Torah, but it should be done in the land of Israel. What happened, sadly, was we came out of Egypt. 7 weeks later, we got the Torah. A few days later, we were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. But we messed up. We messed up. We, the Jewish people. God didn't change his mind. He only reacted, so to speak, to what we did, which was Chet HaMeraglim. It cost us 40 years, and it really cost us a lot more than 40 years. Because even though we entered the land in 40 years later, it wasn't permanent yet. We were there for a long time. I think something like 800 years or so, maybe a little more. But we were exiled because the foundation was weakened retroactively, so to speak, by Chet HaMeraglim. And then, after Galut Bavel, only 70 days later, 70 years later, we were given permission by the rulers at the time to go back. Only 20% of the people went back to build the second Beit HaMikdash. And that was a weak foundation, and we were exiled from that again. And we still are in exile, many of us. And those who are here are still experiencing some exile kind of experience because we don't yet live in the Torah state that Eretz Yisrael should be. But that's all because we messed up. And what happened was in our minds, it separated from Torah to the point where a person can ask, Ma inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. Now, Har Sinai is in Chutz La'aretz, and the Torah was given in Chutz La'aretz by God on purpose. Because had he given the Torah after bringing Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, then if we were to be exiled and scattered over the world, people would say, we don't have to do the Torah, because the Torah was for Eretz Yisrael only. By giving the Torah before entering Eretz Yisrael, made the Torah obligatory on Jews all over the world, anywhere they live, forever. And that again allowed a perspective of, okay, so it's too hard to go to Israel, or I like it here better, or whatever. And I'm thinking of a lot of things at the same time, but I remember speaking to two seminary girls when I asked them about, not just a year of seminary, but what about thinking towards Aliyah? No, we have everything we need for a full Jewish life in, they said Muncie, but you could fill in your own other place. I said, everything? Shuls and schools, and they nodded yes, and mikveh, and they nodded yes, and kosher supermarkets and restaurants, and yes, and yes, and yes. And Eretz Yisrael, and they went, what do you mean? I said, you have everything you need for full Jewish life. What about Eretz Yisrael? Oh, okay, I have a picture of the Kotel, in my apartment. That's the problem. That's the Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, the way I'm looking at it now. I'm not saying the Mefarshim look at it that way. But that's what I see when a person will be super machmir, and I actually say this to sometimes when I see a guy with a second pair of tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin that he puts on. I said, that's a chumrah. What about Mitzvah Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, which is a mitzvah in the Torah? The fact that the Rambam doesn't list it among 613, I have a nice answer for that. That's not the issue. But the issue is you either fulfill that mitzvah now, you plan to fulfill that mitzvah sometime in the future, you teach your children about that mitzvah, and it should never be taken off the agenda. There are very serious reasons for people not coming in Aliyah. Top two of the list, as far as I'm concerned, is Parnassa And that could only be sometimes a perception by some people that they won't be able to make a living here. And the other reason is geographically divided families, which is a serious issue, especially with elderly parents. A whole framework. Then you get lesser good reasons, but whatever. I mean, the extreme there is the story they tell about this fancy family and fancy home in some fancy town at the Pesach Seder, one or both of them. And they're singing Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim HaBanuya. I don't even know if it's a real story, but that's what they tell. And the woman of the house started to cry. And the husband said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Because you said Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim, and I want to be here next year. I like it here. I have two cars, and I have this, and I have that, and I have that, and I have that." To which he answered, "Don't worry, it's only a song." And the sad thing is, it's not only a song, it's a prayer, and it's a prayer that should be meant. And that I get triggered into saying these kind of things on many different causes, many different things that trigger it. But one of them is Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What does one thing have to do with the other? The answer is everything. And I love quoting that which is attributed to the Ramban, and that is that all mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz, all, not just the mitzvot that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, which can't be done in Chutz La'aretz, but all mitzvot are obligatory in order to practice how to do mitzvot when you live in Israel. So why? Why bench after a satisfying meal, which included hamotzi? Because the Torah commands the mitzvah to bench, and they do it out of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and love of Torah. A person who benches in Chutz La'aretz, according to that very interesting view, benches because he needs to keep in shape and practice how to bench for when he is living in Israel and benching here. And I know that's not a fair way to put things. And I'm looking at Mark, and I'm looking at David, and looking at Judy. And that's another thing. Husband and wife is an issue, and family is an issue. I mean, that's, I could be a big shot because I've both brothers are here, and a whole bunch of cousins are here, and my parents were here before they passed away, and actually they're still here. And it makes me say, "Oh, sure, you could say that, but when I hear that person says, my kids came in Aliyah, oh, I know someone who said I was very upset when my kid told me he was coming in Aliyah, abandoning me, And others who say, "I am thrilled that my kids wanted to live here." Just spoke to someone the other day, a person I reconnected with after many, many years, who has three children in the States, 16 grandchildren, four of which so far made Aliyah and live here. Not their parents. Not this person's own daughters, but their grandparents. But at least the chinuch was there and the trend was there. And a year learning here helps in a lot of cases. And a year here doesn't help in a lot of cases also, because people say, "Well, I did my Eretz Yisrael thing, my gap year, and what more do you want from me?" I go back and I have a fun time. And it's not easy. It's not easy having grandchildren here that I'm thinking of my 23-year-old grandson, who has been to more funerals and shiva homes than a 23-year-old should ever be at. And, should have been having fun instead of being called up on October 7th. So it's not easy. And that's not the only reason it's not easy, but I don't have to give you a balanced thing there. I just have to give you a little push and a kick and a,
Phil,
yeah.
talking of benching, isn't the purpose of benching for Parnassa, or one of the purposes,
Why do you say that?
Segula for Parnassa, I thought. I mean, you obviously have to thank Hashem for the food, but it's I thought the main purpose was that it's a plea for Parnassa as well.
I don't know exactly where that came from.
Heard it a few times.
I tell you, when you mention a segula for a mitzvah, the mitzvah is supposed to be the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. And whatever sachar there is for the mitzvah, I gave a shiur on Shabbos and we ended up turning across a Pirkei Avot. We ended up discussing the idea of absolute faith and belief and trust in reward and punishment with the very strong suggestion that one should not keep those things in mind. You should not do something because of the reward. You don't do chesed because someone once said at a shiur or a Devar Torah that a person who gives tzedakah will get more money back than he gave. I hope that's true and I hope it will happen, but I want to be able to feel honestly that I give tzedakah because it's a mitzvah, because it's a chesed, because it helps people less fortunate than I am in that particular respect. And if, let's say, when there is also a personal benefit to me, I don't want to think about that. I want it to happen. I believe that it'll happen. I don't want it to be my focus. I don't want, I'm not saying that you do this, Judy, or anybody else. I don't want to bench by saying, hey, if I bench now, that'll be good for my parnassa. I don't know. That's my gut reaction as a misnaggid.
Very mismagged, I can hear. Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Recently, in the last month or two, there'd been a lot of talk about Moshiach coming, please God, B'mheirah Bimenu. And some people have said that some people will be left behind because they'll say, I'm comfortable here in Putz Laaretz. Is that a real thing?
What I think is a real thing is that there will people who will not come, even when there's a Melech HaMashiach here. I don't believe that Mashiach will magically, even though we have that expression flying on the wings of eagles, I don't think people will come by eagle, and I don't think people will come by donkey. I think those who are motivated to come will come by airplane or what, however. And it's not that people will be left behind because they said we're comfortable here. I don't know. My gut feeling, I can't quote you a source on this, but my gut feeling is that there are plenty of things, maybe not as dramatic as Melech HaMashiach, but there are plenty of things which have encouraged people to come and have not encouraged other people to come. A person had an experience here or heard a shiur or in some way was inspired to come on Aliyah and it came. we could go around and ask, why did you come? Why did you come? Why did you come? Not asking why haven't you come to those. I honestly believe that I came because I believe that this is the place where a Jew is supposed to live. One brother came a few months after he got married. I came a little bit less than 10 years after I got married, because I decided that I wanted to work in the States as a teacher first and then come. But it was always on my mind. In fact, that story with which I didn't finish with that Shabbos Nachamu afternoon from 1969, at that moment, with that pasuk, I said, my future is in Israel, period. No question about it. Details to follow. And it took me 12 years, but I'll tell you that the date of my aliyah, which was the 17th of Elul, 5741, to me is personally less, I can't say less significant, but less than that afternoon from 12 years earlier than that. Because my coming in Aliyah, when I came, followed my decision to make Aliyah, even though it was 12 years later. And before that decision, I was always leaning in this direction because of Bnei Akiva, because of my home and my parents' attitude, and a whole bunch of other things. I'm drifting off here. Specifically to what Nurit says, I don't know, I don't think that all Jews will be brought here, including those who would rather remain where they are. The davening will change because of Beit HaMikdash and because of Mashiach. Life will continue. I can't say the same way we live today because the way the Rambam puts it is life will continue, people will get sick and people will die and people will live to this age and to that age and that age, just like today. The only difference will be no wars. That's a big difference. Imagine what will happen to the budget of defense when it can be used for health and education and everything else in society. It boggles the mind if you think about how much, which I don't want to think about, how much money has gone down the drain in this very important issue of defending the country. But every launch of intercepting missiles, that's a lot of money each single time. And we do it over and over and over and over again. So I don't know. Nurit, I would say to you and to everybody else, you need to ask that those kind of questions to plenty of other people also. Because look, even Beit HaMikdash, Rashi says someplace that the third Beit HaMikdash will come down in fire and it will be there. And the Rambam seems to indicate that it will be built by people, brick by brick, stone by stone. And that's a big difference between those two. And personally, when you have that kind of thing, not personally in general, when you have two respectable opposing opinions to something, we're allowed to say, I like that one better and I'm hoping for that. No guarantee. But somehow the fact that we will actually be involved under the direction of Melech HaMashiach to build the Beit HaMikdash appeals to me more than a miraculous coming of fire. And there's probably a good way to rectify the two opposite opinions by saying we're talking about the, as they call it, the bricks and mortar versus the spiritual sanctity of the Mishkan, you know, which even in the first time with the Mishkan and each Beit HaMikdash has to come from the Shechina. I can't, you know, we can't say, okay, it took us 4 months to build the structure, or Tama 38, or Pinui Binui, and Pinui Binui is the better. I certainly don't want to use any of the mosques there to do a Tama 38. So let's say Pinui on Har Habayit, and obviously you need the what do you call it, the Tofes Arba, which is the Shechina in that case. In the mundane way, Tofes Arba means you pass inspection and you're allowed to live there when a new building is built. And even the apartment that I'm in now, we had to wait until the building got a Tofes Arba for its apartments and didn't bother waiting for electricity. We got electricity only a day later, but it's the thought that counts, that we moved in even before electricity. So I drift.
Thank you very much. I rather like the idea that the Iranians would send the missile on Har HaBayis, and then the Beis HaMikdash would come down.
Okay, if that's the case, then you don't mean the Iranians, you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Obviously, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway, but but it would...
The sad part is it won't save us the grief that we'll get from the rest of the world anyway.
Exactly.
It's what you describe if Iran hit any of those domes as an own goal in English. In football terms, it's an own goal.
Yeah.
Like shooting yourself in the foot.
Right. Yeah. But what's his name? Tucker Carlson will blame us somehow. Because we were the ones that started the war in Iran. And we were the ones that hacked their guidance system, and the missile went out of the way and blew up the Dome of the Rock.
Yes, okay. He needs to be shot and not just in the foot, clearly.
I think he used to be a normal, good person. I don't
know. Why? He had a brain transplant.
I have a very strong opinion, and I don't know why it's not being done. All Israel news outlets should just refuse to report about him at all. Make him a non-entity.
Yeah. Persona non grata.
Yeah.
Very non grata. And he ain't the only one. There's a woman that's in the same ilk, isn't she?
Candace Owen.
What's her name?
She's in Candace. Trouble now. Or not her. What's her name?
Candace Owens. Candace Owens. She's another one out of the same mold.
The congresswoman's Omar? No, Omar.
Oh, the squad. The squad. Them two.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them, as the Americans would say.
They're accusing her of fraud in a charity to the tune of $2.5 million. So,
a cheapskate.
Greta Thunberg, we should have that song, Build a Bonfire, you know, and put them all in the middle.
Yes.
Okay, my taskbar.
I guess you didn't get to Lag BaOmer.
Yeah, I didn't. Happy Lag BaOmer. Or as someone used to say, Lag Sameach.
Lag Sameach.
Thanks very much. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Happy bonfire.
Bye-bye.